Hey, girls. Welcome to episode 280 of the podcast. I wanted to try out Rhea Butcher's girls. Girls. It's guys and girls. Listen, I hate to throw a monkey wrench into my intro, but felt like the right morning to do it. I'm so excited about this episode. You guys, I love Jill Sobule so much. She's wonderful. She's just was what an inspiring, delightful conversation. I want to thank Bill for your recommendation on Facebook, unrelated. Holly, looking forward to seeing you at AwesomeCon, and hopefully some of the rest of you guys who are in the DC area, the rest of you girls who are in the DC area this weekend. And then I want to just do a special shout out and acknowledgement. We talk about it towards the end of the podcast episode, but Richard Fairgray, who is a wonderful comic artist, sort of graphic novels, comic books, and author, is someone that I met many, many years ago in New Zealand when I was doing one of their cons. And he and I became friends and stayed in touch. And he embarked upon this new project called Sweet Penny. It's a children's book. Jill did a song, and you can visit sweetpenny.net to check it out. But that's kind of the reason that we were able to get together was Jill has done Sketchfest in the past, but Richard really connected us so that we could get together and talk about this in a timely manner since Sweet Penny is out. So thank you, Richard, and I hope you guys enjoy the episode. I hope you goyles enjoy the episode.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
I like to over-explain MASH. I don't know what to tell you. I've never found a good way to just break it down. I should almost like send it. But then what? When am I going to send you an email in advance? Like an official MASH email? Yeah.
No. I didn't even listen to you now.
I understand. I dozed off while I was trying to explain what it was. It was incredibly dull. I'm so sorry, Jill.
It's okay.
I've really started. I think we had some momentum we were building. Yeah. We had some momentum we were building. And then it all crashed and burned when I started describing this dumb game. But what are you going to do?
But I'm looking forward to it.
You have never looked more Danish than you do right now to me with your hair short and light. You look so much like a family friend, like sort of, you know, honorary aunts and uncles type family friend.
Really?
That were friends that my father grew up with that I love so much. You look so much like Anna Greta Christensen to me, who lives in Tucson, Arizona. But you really look very, you really look
really?
Very Danish to me in a very positive way.
A Jew from Denver, Colorado.
I've just given you a whole backstory, a shared backstory with this.
Well, here's the deal is my mother had an affair with someone with Danish blood.
Is that true?
Early on in my life. And I've
is that
always,
really true?
Yes.
That
I've always
funny?
Wondered if.
Isn't that?
No, actually, I did the 23andMe.
Yeah,
I thought maybe I did.
Yeah.
No.
Everything as expected?
Everything's expected.
Were there were no surprises?
No surprises.
What do you mind sharing? You just said Jew from Denver, but do you mind sharing any of the kind of further history, like where everybody
Denver?
Else was?
Well,
and back in
third
the
generation.
Of, yeah.
So pioneer Jews.
There
yes,
you go.
They had the haberdasheries.
Oh, wow.
And came from a little, somewhere in Poland or Russia. And actually, I come from a circus family, I found out,
oh,
too.
That
come
is
on.
Amazing.
My grandfather, and I always heard the story, check it out, of that he was in the circus as a barker. With Jack Dempsey, who was the heavyweight champion.
Sure.
Before he was the heavyweight champion, because they were friends later on. But in the circus, do I have any proof of this? And then I went on the Sells Floto, that's the circus it was.
Uh-huh.
And I went on, and on Google Images, there was my grandfather.
Holy
I'll show it to you
smokes,
later.
I'd love to see it. God, see, that's the kind
Danish, of... Danish-Jewish circus family.
I'm very envious. I don't feel that I have that much. That already feels like it's magical in a way that I don't. I gotta root around and find more magic. You know what I mean?
Oh, I bet you...
There's some back there, but there's a lot of... I mean, on really only one, like 25% of me goes like... deep Mormon, just deep Mormon.
Really?
Real far back. Like, oh, my grandmother's family, really? Boy, that's just a lot of, but lot that's of Mormons. Some, that's interesting.
Like, what was it, Under the Banner of Heaven?
Yeah. Yeah.
So maybe they were involved in a massacre. Maybe you got some sister wife relatives.
I mean, it's juicy.
Kind of interesting.
But it's juicy, but it feels like, I don't want to be... You know,
who
among us want to be
your hair is in a little bun right now. It's got
like
the
a sister
kind of,
wife?
You've got a kind of sister wife thing
it
happening.
Doesn't, I don't have like intricate braids,
no, but
I am also very buttoned up when
yes,
all said and done.
Are.
Very prim. I did watch Big Love.
Me
I really
too.
Loved
I loved
it.
Big Love.
I did too. Anything that humanizes something that we're all used to sort of looking askance at and going like, I don't understand how anybody could blah, blah, blah. And then you sort of see, even that as melodramatic as it was, I think they did a great job of sort of going, you know what? Yeah, I get it. I wouldn't do it, but I get it.
I wouldn't do it. Well, we weren't, you know? We didn't grow up in it. So
we didn't grow up in it. And that's the thing, you know, obviously the Mormon Church is like incredibly defensive about any of the sort of like historical stuff that certain sects kind of depart from the church and hold on to. That's
I
a very,
had some
very
Mormon friends who are more secular.
Mm-hmm.
They loved the show.
Oh, that's good to hear.
Yeah.
That's good to hear because I would have assumed.
Because I think it did humanize
the people,
them.
Yeah. We all feel like now we can identify and we can imagine ourselves with sister wives. Well, I'm deeply disappointed to hear that you aren't accidentally Danish. No, I don't
know. I know. I was kind of excited, actually.
How did you know about that affair? Did she tell you or did it come out some other way?
This is fantastic. Actually, it was more Irish, but my stepdad. Oh, this is a really good story.
I'm excited. We're already right into it. I love it.
So when my parents, how I knew something was up, when my parents divorced and I was 15, and my mom said, there's the guy that I've just met and I like him. Would you like to meet him? I'm like, sure. So I go over to his condo. And I look around, I walk in and go, hey, we used to have a lamp just like that.
No.
Hey!
No, no.
That was a couch we used to have. He had our old furniture from like 10 years earlier.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Did they know? They thought like, oh, she won't put that together.
Yeah. And
so
then,
it had been.
And then my mom, who was amazing. I loved my mom. She just passed a year and a half ago.
Sorry.
Great, but I asked her, you know, I never really delved into like when exactly, but I go, where did you guys meet? And she goes, well, when we went into, he was a car dealer and we bought the Red Valiant. And I was like, oh, I don't remember the Red Valiant, but they bought the Red Valiant when I was 1 year old.
Oh,
yeah.
Shit.
So then I was like, oh,
yeah.
I wonder. And here's the deal, except I do look like my dad, but my mom and my brother are all very dark.
Yeah.
And very, you know, look very Jewish.
Yeah.
And I always like when I lived in Nashville for 2 years and people would say to me, you don't look or seem Jewish. It's like, what?
I think we know Jews pretty well down here. And trust us, you don't look or seem Jewish.
So that's what gave me the little, but I do actually really look
you
like my
look
dad,
yeah.
My grandmother on my dad's side. So.
I look exactly like if you just took a picture of both my parents and placed them on top of each other. Like that's like, oh, okay. Well, no one's ever going to say I'm adopted.
Northern European Danish look.
Yeah, and yet I don't know how much of that there is. To as far as I've been able to look back, it really is like your sort of standard. Like, okay, here's Northern France. Here's the very deep Scottish on the Mormon
right.
Down that Mormon channel. Not a ton known about my grandfather, but it all looks Irish pretty much. And then that's kind of it. Like everything, it's sort of
maybe,
Scottish and French.
Maybe my stepdad is.
Could he be my long lost question mark? We did spend time in Denver, but mostly with my father. So I'm not sure how that would have. Well, listen, you never know. I do want to do 23andMe though. But I think I might have mentioned this on the podcast before, but my dad and my aunt did it and they are like very close together in age, and something about her, like the difference between that X and Y chromosome, him being male and her being female, my dad got the sort of whole lineage as expected.
Yeah, we don't get it.
Got the whole lineage as expected, and then she sort of, they like, she got some of it, and then it just said like, and then we lost track in Iran or something like that. It was like, oh, what? Wait, what? Back up, what? So there is something interesting happening. So I am curious, like, you know, I want to do it. I don't know why I haven't done it yet.
What's really interesting is bring it up is that, you know, I did this show called the Jill and Julia.
Yeah.
And so Julia was in town and we did a little goofy thing we hadn't done in a year last Sunday.
Oh, nice, nice.
And she tell one of her news stories is about 23andMe and how she was really excited because she's more than that, only 2% of the population have more than Neanderthal than she has. So she's really excited.
Okay.
And she was always saying, she always wondered
she's
why at the Natural History Museum she'd stop by the diorama of the Neanderthals. She goes, I feel like home.
She feels a connection.
So at the show, we, because we'd been talking about it, we met two people who had met each other this year who were half brother sisters.
And met through?
Through 23andMe.
Oh,
so,
man.
I mean, I've had that thing at 23andMe where they go, you know, I'm your first cousin. And it's like, oh, Davey. Yeah.
Yeah.
You are my first.
Oh, you like know. You already knew that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We're first cousin. No surprises.
Yeah. Hey, it's me. Hey, how you doing? Pretty good. So you did it too? Yeah. Yeah, I did it too. Yeah, I'm. What about the side of it that's like you can choose whether or not you find out like if you're likely to die of blankety blank, right?
Well, they don't right now. They're not allowed to do it. But I did. I was asked for this project to do another one. It was like the Jewish Heritage or something where they did the really intense one,
the medical and history, and
because
all that
especially the Ashkenazis are so inbred, so they have. So yeah, I have all the Jewy diseases,
What are they?
Well, there's is it Crohn's? Is it what's the other one? You know, well, the diabetes. There's a certain breast cancer.
Great.
I'm gonna get them all.
Great.
I'm gonna get them all. It's just great. You know, what are you gonna do?
Great. Crohn's. I feel like that tends to strike a little younger though. So you might be in the clear.
Something else I'm trying to remember. There's something like irritable bowel.
Sure.
Syndrome,
IBS. You know, great. Sign me right
to
up.
Do with the
sign
colon,
me right up.
It's,
yeah.
It's right there.
Yeah. Well, also that, I mean, so much of it is, I don't know. I feel like stuff, there's so many things that genetically can seem like they could also just be triggered environmentally, you know, whether like, you know, if you were an anxious person, that might sort of help, you know, guide that particular disorder into existence. Yeah.
Like everyone in my family had, you know, my grandparents, everyone had diabetes.
Yeah.
And will I get it? But then again, they ate really horrible, you know, fatty, sugary, buttery things.
They were waiting for. They're like, come up, bring it on, bring it on. Let me eat this tub of ice cream. Yeah, that's how my grandfather was. Like just through and through with diabetes, still wanted to eat just the mint chocolate chip all day long.
Yeah,
just needed that ice cream. I get it.
I get it.
Listen,
too.
It's delicious.
I get it too.
We crave fats, sugars, and carbohydrates. They're wonderful and delicious.
When do you get to a certain age where it's like, I don't give a shit. Yeah. I'm just gonna just. And I've never smoked, but I'm going to take it up
and I'm going to have ice cream,
and cigarettes, and drugs.
I mean, I think that's a good question. I feel like if you already don't, if that's not a place you've found yourself pulled yet, I very much am afraid that you might enjoy feeling healthy and good all the way up till the end. You might really just be like, you know what? I feel sluggish and sick when I eat these things that I really, and maybe I just need, and I want to stay feeling mobile and spry.
Yeah,
you know, you just
maybe.
Might not ever totally cave in to heroin, to full heroin addiction.
Whoa.
Until the very, very, very end.
Oh, yeah, at the end when I'm plugged
this
in.
This feels like I got 3 days. Let's do this. Let's do this. I'll write some of my best music. Did you have any, this is very personal, so you can tell
you
me
can
to
ask.
Fuck off if you want, but did you have a relationship as an artist, particularly as a songwriter, where there was something that like, if I drink wine, I feel like I open up this, or if I, you know, because so many people have that kind of.
I mean, one of the reasons I wasn't an alcoholic was because and no one in my family, I just have alcohol and I get stuffy and I get sleepy. So, same. And it's a bummer because Kager parties in college, I just had that same awful beer in my entire time.
Yeah.
But I wanted to be a really fun drunk.
Yeah.
And then in Colorado and in college, it was in Boulder, you know, there was the cocaine thing.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, of course you have, you know, I liked the ritual of the whole mm-hmm. thing, but me and stimulants are redundant.
Uh-huh.
You know, it was not, it was just not a good,
same.
A not good thing for me. So, yeah. I could see where someone, well, opiates, I remember my best time ever was having an operation and being on the morphine drip.
Yeah,
thought, I dig this. Uh-huh. And the thing you have to push it.
Yeah,
and it's like, yeah. I remember my mom was there. It's like, you know, you're not getting any more.
Oh yeah. You How know? Old were like, you? So your mom was there. Were you younger or were you?
No,
she was like, just there.
She was just there.
Oh. No, you're like,
just 10 years
I was
ago.
12. I got my tonsils out. They gave me morphine. I'm not sure what that was
that
about.
Would be so good.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that oh god,
and then the circus. You know what? I will say this as an aside is that the only I have, if I ever do, and I think eventually I will because I know that he's like he frequents the Bay Area. He has I know he's not always there, but Mark Kozlik has a song in which he lists many old timey boxing champions.
Did you mention Jack Dempsey?
He mentions Jack Dempsey. And that's what it reminded me of. It was like, I feel like I have gotten away with seeming like I know so much more about like the boxing heroes
of
the past
song?
Because of just the one song. Someone drops a name and I'm like, mm-hmm, yeah, I'm aware that that person was a champion. And it's only because of that song.
Isn't that great?
Very helpful.
It's like Schoolhouse Rocks kind of thing. But for... Maybe that'd be a really interesting thing to have different concept records, like a historical fiction idea on something on, like my Ken Burns Civil War record
or the
Vietnam record.
Listen, if you like the artist enough, you know, it's just going to get in there. It absolutely got in there.
And then just like obscure histories too.
Yeah.
Just, you know, Denver, Colorado in the 20s.
I would... gobble that up.
Okay.
I just want you to plant a seed in your own brain. I do love Colorado. What's your relationship to Colorado now? Do you feel love for it?
Everyone
or is it
kind of
like,
okay. No, I do. I love it. I mean, I was born and raised and went to college there too, went to Boulder. But if I had... my ship really came in, I'd have that ranch somewhere outside of Aspen or not in Aspen, of course.
Would the ranch have like would it be
I'd
a
have
full
a lot
working
of
ranch? Yeah, yeah, that's the question. Because your dad was a veterinarian.
I'd have lambs and baby goats and just really cute ones.
Yeah.
And
just the cute
I
ones, please.
I won't eat any of them.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Does anyone
want to give you a ranch?
Want to give me a ranch?
I'll help get that ask out there. Guys, does anyone want to give you...
Well, the one thing I miss, you know, I left Denver to move to New York City.
Yeah.
And even
different.
Here, the one thing I love when I fly in there, and you know that, it's just the sky. That's the one thing I miss more than anything about those mountains and is the big sky.
Gosh,
you don't have that here.
Yeah.
Or, yeah.
I mean, yeah. Yeah. You don't have to go. Well, yeah, I was just up in like Arrowhead for less than 24 hours for just a little kind of getaway with a handful of friends. And I was once again marveling at how quickly you can be in the pines and sort of in crisp weather, even outside of
that's what's so
LA.
Great
it's very special
about here.
Yeah, it's sort of it's a miniature version of that, but it's so much more accessible than I allow myself to think on any given, you know, you sort of have the like, oh yeah, the coast, you know, that's right there, but also the mountains. It's just wonderful.
And I was, landlocked. So for me, I like, the oceans kind of scares me. It feels...
Me too. I'm from Arizona.
It feels empty.
I'm from Arizona. I have,
yes.
It's a known fact that I have,
whatever, agoraphobia doesn't really work because I don't have a, I mean, it's not like I, a fear of the marketplace is the literal translation. I don't have, I mean, I don't love crowds, but who does? But that just the, for me, blankness, the blankness, especially if it's a cloudless sky, that placid,
it makes me flat a little water sad.
And then sky, it's, it gives me an empty feeling.
Me too. I like, I mean, I like seeing land on the other side. I love big mountain lakes.
Man, I know, me too.
Rivers. Ugh. Yeah.
Just give me, listen.
I'd like a river running through my ranch.
Oh, absolutely. Listen, when I was little, right around the time that I was most heavy into MASH, I had like, and I'm not, there's nothing, like, I did want to at some point be kind of an interior architect / designer, but never to the place where I pursued it, it with any kind of real vigor, particularly the architecture part. But I really had like sketches of my dream home that had a full running stream. I was like, I'm going to go ahead and build it. Somehow it will make sense and I won't have problem with like bugs. That I'll just have a, I'll just build my house over a stream, and like so the living room will just have the stream running through it, and you'll just sort of see
a lot of pesticides. Just kill everything. You don't need.
You don't need much. You don't need much. Just a lot of fly. But I thought, yeah, and I think it was for me being from a desert, especially just wanting that feeling of I love the desert now, but I don't want to live there, and right. So much of my life in Tucson was like, let's get up into the mountains of Catalinas and any place where there was like snow runoff or, you know, just the feeling that was different than, you know, the saguaros, which now I look at and I'm like, oh, this is stunning. What a special place to grow up. I wanted that green. There were these, the alleys between in my dad's neighborhood, which is a very, very modest sort of lower middle class at best neighborhood. The alleys were very unkempt. And so after the monsoon season, all these sort of like mesquites and cactuses and just that temporary green grass that's essentially just weeds, but that would shoot up.
It's gorgeous,
and I would just get back in there and like, oh, this is like this special private oasis where I'm surrounded by other people's fences and I can kind of peek in and see what their lives are like. But it feels like this sort of secret place. What a feeling.
How long did that last, that green?
I mean, like a couple weeks.
And then it just dry up.
It was glorious. Yeah. It smelled different, you know, all of that. Just, did you, what was your childhood like? Did you have kind of access to the greater outdoors? And, you know, would you head out on a bike and ride around?
We lived
and
you had to get in the car.
Yeah.
I was in the city and we were not that. We didn't go out to the country that much. We had, you know, the park next door where we, you know, everyone smoke.
Uh-huh. Oh, the smoking park. The smoking park. What were you, when you were a teenager, you mentioned your parents divorced when you were 15. What were you, how was that? Was it expected? Was it a surprise? Did you have siblings?
I have a brother.
Yeah, I think you mentioned that too.
He's a little older.
Yeah.
No, in fact, to me, I was the fan, you know, when people say, you know, we stay together till the kids are older, it's like, no, they know you're miserable.
Yeah.
Get it over with. Yeah. Just move on.
Yeah, agreed.
So that was, you know, when they said they were going to divorce, it was like, well, I think also when you're 15, you're so into your peer stuff. You just don't, you don't care in a certain way.
Yeah.
I mean, there's other things you're.
Yeah.
More.
What was the stuff that you were more involved with? Like, what were your friends like, and what were your hobbies?
I was a weirdo.
Great.
I mean, I didn't. Now, 15. What grade are you when you're in 15?
I think usually like a sophomore.
Sophomore. Okay.
Maybe.
So junior high school was completely miserable for me. I mean, life will never get horrible, horrible.
Were you bullied?
Once I got into what?
Were you bullied, or was it just a feeling of like, none of these things make sense to me?
I just felt really, I might have, I'm not sure I was bullied, but no one, I just wasn't part of any group. When I was in fifth grade, I just wanted to go home and watch Watergate. seriously, that was that's just, and none
people,
of my
what
friends
what are we all
did.
Doing here? There is important stuff going on.
I was
that
so
we need
into
to know
it.
About.
Yeah, I that's had different interests than my friends, and
yeah,
and then, you know, of course, I had a crush on my best friend, and that was just horrible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you couldn't, you know, it was back then, and you couldn't say anything about it. I was miserable. But once I got to high school, I moved to a new school. You know, they say you can't. You
deal.
Always are. You know, you can't run away from who you are. But yes, you can. It's so great. Yeah. So I went to a new school, and I was the token Jewish girl at St. Mary's Academy.
Okay,
all-girl school.
All-girl.
We had great uniforms, and there's something about being in an all-girls school that was kind of great because at the girls, everyone was really nice because they it felt like they weren't competing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And, that's why I hear that
and
frequently.
I became, you know, from being kind of unpopular and bullied. I was vice president.
Okay.
My class 1 year. I can, you know.
For the kid who was interested in Watergate, listen, you got into politics early.
Am I looking a little conceited right now? I was vice president. And the reason I wanted to be vice president because I knew there wasn't really anything you really had to do. So, you know, president, it seemed like there was a lot of responsibility.
Did you know that
from
the country's vice presidency? I can only assume it's similar in high school as what the office of the vice president of the United States is like.
I don't remember doing anything except I got to put on the Christmas play.
Oh,
I got to help put that on.
Hmm, that would not necessarily be a task I would imagine would fall into the purview of the vice president, but
that's what I did.
That's what you did. Do you remember? And listen, I'm not going to be shy. I'm asking this because I do specifically remember my campaign. I may have talked about it before, but do you remember your campaign for vice presidency? I ran for secretary
did
in eighth
win?
Grade. I did win.
Well.
It was just against me and one other person. But I don't remember anything I did for the office, but I remember my campaign.
I'm not sure anyone ran against me. I don't think anyone really cared.
And
mine
it was not like a hotly followed, you know. I don't feel that it was a tremendous victory. I was frankly surprised, but also because I feel like it could have gone either way. And also, I don't really remember why I wanted to. I think it was like I think a boy that I had a crush on was running for president. And I was like, this seems like a good idea.
Yeah.
But I remember my campaign because I was very into that was what I was interested in was like what are my posters going to look like? Well, because my dad is an English teacher and he just is such a lover of literature and puns and silly words and all this. And so he helped me come up with a slogan, avoid the Blarney, vote for Varney, which no one knew what Blarney was, including me, until my dad told me. But that didn't stop me. I was like, oh, this is a no-brainer.
Did
so I had all these posters that said that.
You did?
And people,
I don't.
But it was a conversation starter in the sense that absolutely no one knew what Blarney was. So it did cause people to go like, what does this mean? So I guess it turned out to be, it was a good conversation piece, even though it was a kind of a lousy campaign.
I wish you had those posters.
Can you imagine? I don't keep a lot of that stuff. I have like one crate of stuff that covers all of school, you know? Do you hold on to stuff like that?
No.
Yeah.
I wish I did though more. I mean, no one was very sentimental. In fact, I'm a little bitter on some of the things my mother threw away.
Mm-hmm.
Like my records.
Mm-hmm.
I had really good vinyl and some old stuff.
Yeah.
I had my toys.
Yeah.
I was really in Despise when I was little. And I had one
camera
that you pressed a button and it turned into a gun. And then I had the 007 car.
I
saw them on eBay and they go for like a lot of money.
Yeah.
I'm bitter.
Yeah. Were you, so you weren't even consulted? Because I do feel like...
I wasn't consulted.
My parents definitely, I was hurt that I felt like they were, I mean, first of all, my dad, the second I moved out, my dad was like, okay, I'm going to go ahead and convert this room into something totally different, which I completely understand and approve of. But there was sort of a sense of like, huh, so you're just going to, like he sent me some stuff that was like, you might want this. And it was like, things that as a younger person you feel like your parents are supposed to treasure, like, but these are my report cards from first grade, why do you want these? Like, I don't know, I don't want them, I'm just gonna throw them away unless you want them.
I know. Part of me wishes I had some of that stuff. I have a few things.
You know
I
what? I'll give you some of mine. You can pretend. I don't have my campaign poster, but I probably have like, I mean, I do have probably like an honorable mention, you know, track meet kind of a ribbon from, say, fifth, sixth grade. If you're interested, I could I could give it to you.
But you know, there were certain things that I've, I don't know why I'm bringing this up, but I remember my, was it my mother had, or I remember there was, do you remember at one of the first things I ever, the first time I ever saw a penis?
Oh, I definitely remember that.
Well, it was, wasn't my mother, mother's friend had this, there was called Viva magazine in the mid-70s. Do you remember Viva magazine?
I don't, I wouldn't know anything by name, probably. It would have but been just Viva, like something.
It was like the female version of, it was the penthouse for women.
No one talks about this. Like, no one talks about Viva. Okay. I don't think I've ever heard
penthouse, it was like 2 years or 3 years, penthouse for that? Women. And I think mostly gay men bought it. Like Playgirl magazine.
I'm sure you're right.
But I don't remember how I remember looking at it, but you know, and it was supposed to be literary too. They would have, you know, yeah. It'd be great. And so, yeah. Someone I found a Viva magazine.
How old were you? Do you think?
You know, in seventh grade.
Yeah, eighth, that's sixth, about how old eighth. I was.
I had, so I had the Viva magazine. I found one a couple years ago.
Oh yeah,
and then I went on eBay and I bought every one of you. I have a collection of God. Viva magazine if you want to come is over it, and see.
First of all, yes, I do. Second of all, what it? I have so many questions. What? How? So it's literary. Was it, if it was aimed towards women / gay men, I mean, penthouse, obviously you have sort of like, you have Hustler, you have Penthouse, you have Playboy. When I don't know what magazine I saw. I had seen lots and lots of Playboy, so my sense of sex was still very like soft and like
this
nipples.
Was soft,
and
yeah.
So were the this penises wasn't erect? That loud. Yeah, yeah. Were the penises erect? Or were they semi-hard? Were they
well,
just
I didn't
like flopping around?
I just, they were kind of semi-hard. They
yeah,
were, like,
probably.
You know, and they were.
But it
and,
wasn't
and it was,
like I am
was
about
very
to.
Hairy.
Yeah.
Everyone,
yeah.
It was
yeah,
all
yeah,
very
yeah,
hairy.
Yeah. Harder. Yeah. Then it's really extra.
And very
not
soft focus.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Very Vaseline lens uh-huh. kind of. Thing,
yeah.
You know.
Pretty. Viva.
But then they would have things on like Studio 54
uh-huh.
and Gloria Steinem did an article.
Sure.
And
God, so I can't. They so, were but it was short-lived. You said it was short. It was a couple of years.
I think it was short-lived.
Years. Probably just didn't. Maybe it just didn't
like,
sell.
Just a couple so. Years.
Yeah.
But so we were just God, talking Viva. About nostalgia and things. And there's a part of me that wants to, that gets old things like that. I had my 007 car.
I love someone that you were
gave,
into spies. Let's not bury that because that's fantastic.
Oh.
Again, with the Watergate. I mean, all of that sort of like, that's big idea
Did
stuff.
Did you like spies?
You know what I mean? Yeah, loved. Yeah. But I mean, for me, it was like, you see, you, I think yours was already more sophisticated because for me, it was like, we got fed, you know, Encyclopedia Brown and stuff where it was like a child detective who's solving, you know, who stole Rex's collar. It's not like the bigger picture spy stuff. You know what I mean? I feel like it was a little later when I found out about, like, my dad definitely, I remember going to Zip's video and, you know, systematically going through and watching every Bond film in order per, you know,
Did
my
you
dad was like,
Bond
you're old
films?
Enough. And you go, oh, for sure.
I loved them so
for
much.
For sure, for sure. Now looking back, there is that sense of like, it seems like we are in the sort of like second wave of feminism era where people are kind of looking backwards again at stuff like that. And going like, what did that tell? Like, what did that teach me about being a woman? And but if I was identifying with him, like I
yeah,
feel like
I
identified
with
him.
I didn't.
I wasn't interested. You know,
the Bond girls.
I was like, I would bed those women too. Like, but like, did that give me? Was I? Am I misogynist? Or did it give me like misogynistic ideas as a young person? Like as a female chauvinist somehow? Because if I identified with James Bond and not the women. And I objectified the women because I was interested. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't really know. It's possible.
It's so funny looking back at old movies. We were talking about this yesterday about Revenge of the Nerds and Animal yeah. House and how when you look at them now, how horrible
Cringe
they
movie.
Are. How horrible. But yeah. with a Bond, I just wanted to be Bond.
Yeah.
I didn't relate to the Bond girls at all. Yeah. They were almost like these comical... But yeah. Plus, they weren't really that cool. They didn't get to do the cool things as much.
Yeah.
A few of them, except those ones that did the Remember the ones that did like the somersaults in the pool and the karate? Those guys were cool. Those women were cool. The karate chopping.
They were hinting at it. They were hinting at it with, you know, there were definitely Bond villainesses or sidekicks that, you know, they and you could sort of see the evolution where they started to become more and more interesting. And definitely, like, I remember feeling like there was a breakthrough moment for me with the Famke Janssen when she was, and that is much more recent. It was like GoldenEye or something. But feeling like, I'm more interested in her than anything else that's happening. Like, I just want to see her movie. I want to see her all day long. But
I've got to know my GoldenEye better. Wasn't there just some?
It's possible that there wasn't even that movie, but it was one of the more, like, you know, Timothy Dalton or Pierce Brosnan, like, must have been one of those right. kind of more, much more recent, I but I thought
Pierce
she was great.
He gets, I think, underrated. I think
I
he was
Pierce.
A good Bond.
I enjoy him.
I think he was a good Bond.
I have no problem. I definitely am not like, well, Roger Moore really, you know, it really went downhill after Roger. I definitely don't feel that way.
Well, there was one, I'll tell you, that when I was little, there were reruns of this show called The Avengers.
Mm-hmm. You know sure, that? With Diana Rigg. And
so Diana yeah. Rigg,
yeah.
she, I think, was like the first badass, and she wore those leather jumpsuits. Mm-hmm. They were kind of fetishy leather jumpsuits.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
And like, she was a badass. Yeah. I mean, he was kind of, you know.
He was like, eh.
He was like, who cared? But yeah. she.
Yeah, she was great.
Yeah.
Now let's go. Okay, you had a crush. Oh, I'm all. No, there's no. And then there's no rhyme or reason. There's no agenda. I'm not taking any. I mean, listen, we'll get to this. This will start to feel very rigorous once we get to the list making process. But your crush on your best friend, did you take that friendship with you when you went to the new school? Like, how did that resolve? Did it just sort of, we drifted apart and you never said anything and that was sort of the end of that?
Yeah, we drifted apart. I started all over again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she never, is it he or she?
A she.
Okay. I was assuming, but I suddenly realized that that was probably not appropriate.
Well, it didn't matter.
Yeah.
You know, but you know what? I don't know why I'm bringing this up. I'm all over the place.
In a good way.
But, well, like her, Mary Gardner, I tried looking her up in Facebook and you can't find her. So automatically, you know, people change their names.
Yeah,
like it, but
especially getting
automatically, I think there's something really tragic that happened.
I think I do the same thing.
I heard rumors that she became a prostitute.
Really?
But I think that people are just saying things. But here,
that's a very specific rumor though.
I had the one in sixth grade, a guy named Robbie Naaman. Boy asked me out, and he was really popular. Asked me to go steady, and then 2 weeks later, he dropped me. Yeah. He dumped me. So then, this year, I got an email from him.
Oh, really?
Or Facebook?
Facebook messages. Yeah,
saying, you know, I've been following your career, and he goes, I hope you're still not mad at me. And so I think it was like there was some sort of like Tallulah Bankhead quote. I wrote it back saying, so now you come crawling
right.
back. You know?
Like, so. I have been waiting for this moment. I don't want to say I've constructed my entire life around this moment coming, hopefully, but you're the reason for everything. Could you imagine?
That would have been
I'm
so
still angry. 2 weeks. That 2 weeks was the best 2 weeks of my life. It was downhill from there. Oh my God, bless his heart. Good old Robbie. Good old Robbie.
So now you go crawling back. It's too late, Buster. So
boy,
yeah,
yeah. Didn't even let him down easy. I get it. It was your turn.
Yeah. I have no secrets here.
Yeah.
But Mary, Robbie.
Yeah.
Naaman.
Yeah. Robbie, could you come in here, please? I have a surprise for you.
That'd be so great.
He found out somehow you were doing the podcast, and I felt like it was appropriate for me to bring him in.
That would be so great.
It's going to be a real Geraldo moment. So when you were in high school, what was that? But it wasn't like a boarding school or anything. Yeah, you were still
We just had
every day.
Outfits.
Yeah. Yeah.
No,
what,
we went home.
What? And so you said that you kind of you blossomed. You know, felt more at home.
You had a new. No one knew you.
Yeah.
So you could create a new persona in a certain way.
What was your persona like? Were you into music then? Were you?
Well, in junior high, I was just kind of a freak. You know, I mean, back then, what's interesting is that I wanted to be Jimi Hendrix. I wanted to be a rock guitar player. And back then it was just like, you know what? That's not very feminine. That's not really cute.
Right.
You're not going to get any boys doing that.
Right.
It wasn't cool.
Yeah.
I mean, now it's like, but, you know, play more, you know, get an acoustic guitar and play some Joan Baez or Joni Mitchell, which is great. You know? But when I went to high school, somehow at St. Mary's, because it was small and I did get that acoustic guitar, and I could do all the Neil Young covers.
Hot.
So somehow, and like I said, it was there were no mean girls.
I'm laughing because I like the idea of Neil Young being like the compromise.
It's a compromise. Like, I wasn't
Listen, he can rock it out, admittedly, but he's also acoustic. Like, there's something about that that's very funny to me. Like, listen, between Jimi Hendrix and Joan,
I did the
you
Neil
basically
Young.
Have the Neil Young.
I
like,
did the
that
Neil
covers,
Young
covers that covers some ground.
It's great. No, it's true.
It's great.
You know what? Neil Young helped me, you know, get friends.
Great.
So, and I played guitar at all the masses.
Okay.
I was the, you know, it was kind of a more, you know, you could do the hippie, hippie Catholic masses. You know? Day by day.
That is my question is like, how
can you sing that with me?
I don't know it that well.
You
don't? I don't know Day by Day that well.
Oh my God. Okay.
Otherwise, so, I absolutely would.
That was.
If you want to find a Neil Young song we can cover, okay, I'll do it all day long. And I know a precious
Down
lot of Joni
by
Mitchell.
The day by day.
We do a mashup.
What if you go? Every song I do goes into Day by Day.
It's her signature, guys. She's never going to change that. I'm sorry. She lives for the mashup, but really just one mashup with all the other songs. Oh my God. That's pretty adorable to imagine. The guitar at the, and you were the only one. Were there like a couple of other guitarists that would make the rotation?
Not as
the
good as
rotation?
Me. Not
yeah,
as good.
That, vice principal VP.
So, and also,
I mean, vice president,
no
vice principal.
There,
yeah.
There were, like I said, and also when you're wearing a uniform, except that was the first 2 years. The last year, we protested that we could wear jeans, and then it became all the time. We could wear regular clothes. But there's something about going to school where no one's trying to outdo each other, except who had the shortest skirt,
That would
of
not
course.
Have been me.
But we had a cool outfit, I have to say. We had that green, black, and blue plaid with the blazer and the cute
little
skirt.
Little kilt, the sort of quintessential, like, cute school
with
uniform.
With
patch. A patch on the, I had that envy. I went to a public school, and I did
awesome.
Sort of, like, I looked at that and thought, like, you know, there's, I guess that's well, and also it's been, you know, fetishized so much too.
I know.
That there is, like, by men and women alike, that it's sort of like, oh, I get it, you know.
Oh, gosh.
Did you date in high school?
You know what? I was just saying to someone I had, like, the junior prom, there was a guy named Frank Sherman who I dated a little bit, and he had that hot comb hair, you know, that. Just feathery, blow-dried hair, and wasn't. I don't remember. I just think he was like an explosion of uninterestingness, you know. And I think I just went out with him because the girls thought he was cool.
Yeah.
But I was not. I mean, we didn't do it.
Right.
I didn't go all the way with Frank.
Yeah.
Maybe just second base.
Uh-huh.
I let him touch my breast.
Do you remember when you say you let him touch your breast? Do you remember feeling any sort of excitement or attraction when that was happening, or it was I guess I should check this off the list.
Yeah,
or whatever. He seems to really feel sure that this is a good thing to do, and yeah.
I mean, I wasn't.
Who did you feel a spark for? Who did you feel that sort of tickly, sparkly feeling? Were there people around you, or was it looking outside of that to film and television?
On film and television.
Well, yeah.
Who did I have a crush on? I think if film and television, I think I might have been a little, I had odd crushes. Okay, you're going to think I'm really stirring.
Well, of course. I guarantee you I won't. Since I early on in the podcast, I had a very long conversation about which monkey I had a crush on.
Oh, which was your monkey?
Peter.
Peter Tork, yeah. I would have gone, hey, can I just tell you? I don't want to be conceited and
listen,
I don't like to name drop.
Listen, as a vice president, I already know that you are humble.
Okay. Do you know who was a fan of mine and sang with me and came when I was in the studio to see me a couple times?
Tell me. It's not conceited.
Davy Jones.
Oh, very well done.
I just wanted to say that.
Very well
done. Davy Jones.
That's one fantastic.
One time when I had the song, you know, the original I Kissed a Girl.
Yeah, yeah.
I was in New York at the radio station, and it was before they, you know, on the internet, they were documented. I wish I had it, but he came bursting in because he was in another room going, I love your song. And so...
Be conceited about that. That's so fabulous.
He came in, so I'm singing, I Kissed a Girl, and he came in to sing with me, I Kissed That Girl. In that Davy Jones, I Kissed That Girl.
I can see it. And I can hear it.
Oh, my God.
What a thrill. What a thrill.
Life has never been that good.
Oh, what a thrill.
And I think Peter, but I still like Davy Jones, too.
I mean, listen, this, as I recall, I have not listened to it, but as I recall, my conversation with Connie ended in the idea that somehow I thought I was being more realistic choosing Peter. Like, I was the person who was like, well, I could never get Davy. Everyone loves Davy. How can I be different?
That's
like,
really
what is
funny.
I may have actually, like, you know, unconsciously thought, who is the least crushed on monkey? Because that is the person that I probably have the best chance at ending up with. Like, I should be grounded about these choices. I should pick the person that, you know, I mean, listen, I'm not going to have to compete really for him because, like,
that's
he was adorable
really,
also.
Really great.
Yeah. Also, like, he was the least masculine in whatever way you want to think of. You know what
Peter
I mean? He was
Tork.
Just, like, just adorable. A very safe, adorable. I mean, they all were.
Well,
like, Davy was really the only, like,
I liked Ringo
one.
In the same
yeah.
way. You know, it wasn't John or Paul. It was I liked Ringo.
Yeah. Makes sense. There's something
fun.
He's fun, and there's something sort of like declawed about certain people that when you're younger that. But then, like, I went to the extreme opposite direction where I had to go through my phase of, like, you know, Hannibal Lecter, like that sort of weird shit in high school where
me and Manson and John Wayne Gacy.
John Wayne Gacy. There's just something very compelling about him. Yeah,
but crushes. So in high school. Crushes.
You had another crush on a girlfriend.
Yeah.
And again, unrequited.
Totally unrequited.
Did you get a sense of girls at the school who actually might have been gay or bi?
Yeah,
it wasn't, you know.
I remember, okay, so I thought, am I gay? Do I have, but I remember it was like, okay, that Viva magazine pictorial of those French schoolgirls, you know, and then in their kind of gossamer gowns. And it was very, you know, remember David Hamilton, you know, that kind
just
of
soft very focus. Gauzy, very gauzy
things. And it's like,
am I dreaming this or am I looking at a picture? Is this a dream? Like, you know,
and I'm like, oh, maybe I could be like that. And then I remember having a fake ID in high school. My friends taking it was like to go to the gay discos were the cool thing. And I remember there next door to the tracks was this lesbian bar called the Foxhole.
Oh,
and
amazing!
So
name.
I was like,
amazing
okay,
name.
I'm gonna go there, and I'm gonna. And I walked in, and it was just all these women that looked like Pete Rose, and I'm like. Where are those gossamer gals?
And you know what? Most of those women may well have been wondering the same thing.
Where, this was Denver.
Hey, I'm
maybe
here. Where are my lipsticks, everybody? What's going on?
But so I had a
lovely.
Crush on Laura Rose. And then I found out we went with each other. After high school, our parents got us a trip. To both of us to go to Europe after high school, before college, to visit my Aunt Mickey, who lived in London. And then we would go on, and I had a crush on her the entire time. There was crazy things that happened. And then I found out like 10 years ago, she was like, oh, I liked you too.
I
and
knew
nothing
you were going to say that.
I mean, damn.
I knew it.
What?
It's
I want to go back
confused.
To the
yeah. Well, listen.
The time machine.
Let me keep that in my mind because
you're
we're
all
getting
about
to this game
match.
Pretty
I can't
soon.
Wait.
Like the rest. Like I think the rest of this has been a waste. Listen, this has all been a waste of time. This is what really matters. No, but I will. We can fold that right into the game. Easy peasy. But I mean, that time is so confusing and hormonally bizarre anyway that, you know, it's hard, even if you're just like doing whatever the sort of straight ahead right in front of you, you know, heteronormative, whatever that is still a mess. So once you start layering on, like, it's a friendship and, you know, it's confusing and it's not what you're seeing around you all the time. And like, of course it's hard to sort of what, like, to have a like, oh, and then we just fell in love and lived happily ever. Like,
and it was,
you know,
back then too, there was no precedent. There was no, yeah, Ellen. There was no, yeah. I mean, this was back. I mean, the only thing you knew about was, what, Miss Hathaway from the Beverly Hillbillies and, you know, our gym teacher, yeah, Miss Newby. Yeah. I mean, there was nothing, you know,
God love those gym teachers for helping pave the way. I felt that. I was like, I'm sure Miss Summers is gay. She must be gay, my PE teacher. But like, I'm guessing. I don't know. No one's saying it. No one's telling anybody, you know.
Oh. I'll show you from my, I do have my yearbook. I'll have to show you a picture of Miss Newby. You'll be like, oh my God.
Some of those delightful cliches, we don't mean them to, it's not about, you know, stereotyping. It's just like those were safe places. Those were sort of, that's, you absolutely know, there were places to fit. Like my cousin who's, God, you know, who's him now male, was on the girls softball team, was like, bless, thank God there was any place to go and,
oh,
be a gay woman.
Yes,
you know what I
thank
mean?
Thank God for the foxhole.
It was
hole.
Like,
I love
these are my people. Like, I got to find my people somehow. And it ain't going to be because we're all gay. It has to be, there has to be some outside thing that we can do that helps define us so we can find each other, I think.
Absolutely.
Is a lot of that.
And
you know,
I think when things were more oppressed too, you had the stereotypes can also be more accentuated in a way where, yeah, because that's, I remember I did my third year abroad program in Spain.
How
and,
fun.
And it was in southern Spain. And
this
was
is
not,
high school or college?
This was college.
Okay.
But it wasn't that, I mean, it was still kind of in southern Spain. It was kind of oppressed and it was, sure, it wasn't like Spain today and, yeah, you know, that's more progressive than us and in certain ways. And then I remember going to this place because it was highly illegal. My friends took me to this gay bar and it'd be like going to a speakeasy. Yeah. I mean, they still had raids.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember walking into this shitty looking street and the door they'd open up and they'd open the door to be like marble floors,
oh,
and chandeliers.
God.
And all the, wow, like the women that were there, it was either super, super butch with super, super femme women. It was, I felt I was in the 1920s.
Oh,
it was,
that's exactly what I'm picturing.
Amazing.
Yeah.
It was fantastic. And,
yeah.
And the same thing with the men. It was really like completely extreme butch and femme and for both. But there was something, I thought about it. I was talking with someone that was, when something is taboo, and thank God things aren't taboo, but there's something really sexy.
That's just what I was going to say, is like you could do a whole, I'm sure people are doing theses on the, like, how to, like, what does a romantic long-term relationship get to look like in a world where those, because no, like, whether you want it to be taboo or not, it is. And how do those things feed into, like, you know, like what's sexy versus what's meaningful and intimate and emotional, just based on what you can get away with, you know, like how much of a chance did relationships have in some ways? Because not just because you could not just be like, how, like, when does it become tiresome that it's hot? Do you know what I'm saying? Like that part of it that's sort of created by virtue of the environment around it. It's like, well, we're forced to have this be this sort of amazing wonderland underworld, right? Because that's where it can only exist. And then at what point are you like, and also then I fell in love and we couldn't hold hands in public. And then it was like, I don't give a shit,
yeah,
how hot it is. You know what I mean?
Well,
I don't,
yeah,
even know what
you
I'm
won't
saying.
Want, you
I'm
won't want to
sort of
go back, but in my fantasy life,
totally,
in my, I, like when I read, like, I love the kind of old, like gay pulp fiction.
Absolutely.
So, where there was like, you know, to go into like the Connecticut housewife and, you know, goes into Greenwich Village into some kind
into the
of
dragon's lair,
into a beatnik bar where there are different people,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
and that
Yeah.
In my mind, that must have been too. so hot.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, that's absolutely. And that's what I'm saying is like, I feel exactly the same way. I'm ruining it for myself because I'm like stepping outside of that going
I guess at a certain point. You're really ruining it because you're right. You won't want to go back.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
unless you could just time travel and then it would be, oh, listen, we're going to.
It's so interesting because, you know, how the things so fast, you know, so different. But I was in New York for 2 months working with NYU Tisch undergrad. They were doing a musical that I did the music for.
Awesome.
I love those kids. And amazing. What just a different upbringing. God. Like when we were around the table and went to meeting everyone, you know, there was like 30 people and you had to say, you know, I'm Jill, I'm doing the music and my preferred gender pronouns are her, she. So everyone, and then there were a couple they's and there's no, you know, but there was something that these kids had absolutely no, and they had cool parents and for the most part.
Right.
And, you know, but so different than the village in 1961 in my imagination, but they have it so much better. But you know, in like I said, in my idea, but the play that musical we're working on takes place in. Do you remember a movie called Times Square? It was a 1980, kind of a really bad, good cult movie.
I don't, but I...
Anyway, it was about two girls in dirty Times Square. Okay, you know, filthy, dirty, funny Times Square. So it's an adaptation of that. Nice. But then it's a romance between these two girls. But again, it's
that sounds great.
How are you dealing with... So my next project, people was like, you know, again, a kind of kid thing. So I've been reading a lot of YA fiction. Have you read some YA fiction?
Not as much as I know I would like to, and I could use some recommendations because I do love young adult fiction.
Okay, good. Some of it's really greatly written.
Oh yeah, I'm sure. But that's always been true, you know.
Again, you know, you're dealing with these. Like there was one I was reading that was a one with the lesbian relationship, and it was just so like, yeah, whatever. You know, we're like, our parents are fine with it. Yeah, it was cool, and it was like, yeah, but there's something less sexier about the one where, of course, they kill themselves at the end because they're so ashamed of their sexuality, but that they have to hide it and sneak. And that first kiss is just,
No, I definitely have the, like, in terms of, like, turn-ons, the whole sort of, like, this is forbidden is, I absolutely fall into
the category. Let's go to Saudi Arabia.
Like,
let's just go and
let's see how quickly that stales on us. Let's see how quickly when we put it into practice, we're like, oh no, 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 no. Let's get out of here.
Let's go back to West Hollywood.
I just
got
punched in the face. Let's get out of here. Oh my God. Okay. I want to get into this game because I think
we absolutely
should start out with three, you said you would go back to the, you know, trip in. So let's, for the first category, we're going to do to you personally moments you can revisit knowing what you know now in your life. And then the next question will be like time traveling to a certain era and why, you know. So first one, give me three things from your life that you can check back in with and
what change
re-experience or change or just experience the same but kind of get the perspective that you have now, like anything like that.
Oh God, I would go back to seventh grade.
Great.
The hardest, horrible year of all time. And when Shelley Zisman and Carol Fangold were really mean to me and it somehow they got people against me and that I didn't want to tell my parents because I was afraid they'd think I was unpopular. And I wish I had their perspective today of like, you know what? I've been on their Facebook. First of all, they're not looking good. Second of all, they're on their fifth divorce.
Yeah. I'm putting seventh grade Mean Girls.
Mean Girls.
You know what that means. Okay. Now, should I put in here the trip in London to London with your...
Yes.
Okay. London. And then put a little heart. We know what that means. Okay. How about number three?
Number three would be... Maybe I'm trying to think of what would be a number three. Should it be more of a more recent
one? It's up to you. It's your mash.
That I want, Oh my God, this is a really hard one.
They're only going to get harder, I feel. I just need to warn you, this is a lot of pressure, this game.
Okay, well, this is a more recent one.
Okay.
Where I accidentally, on my friend's pond, their fish pond, and I put the water on, and I didn't turn it off, and the water, so it overflowed, and the water in California is so acidic, and I killed three little, but they were goldfish, but they were still, you know, like about the size of my hand, goldfish, and I killed three goldfish, and this was a couple months ago, and I've been haunted by that. That's a very sweet and
noble desire to undo that. I'm moved, and I think it's a great use of the wish, as it were.
Okay.
Okay, let's move on to three places places and times that it would be amazing to get to visit. Assuming, like, nothing bad would happen to you. You're not going to get, you know, consumption or, you know.
Okay. 20s in Paris.
Great.
20s in New York.
Great.
And 20s in Berlin, of course, before everything.
Are you watching Babylon Berlin?
I have watched Babylon Berlin.
I think I'm four episodes in. I'm enjoying it.
I mean, I love that those whole time periods for some reason.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, maybe it goes back to that whole thing of in New York, the speakeasies, the prohibition.
Things get kind of.
Right before the Depression.
Yeah. It's a fascinating time. It really is a fascinating time. It really is. It's like, I think there's something about, you know, this kind of like, there's just so much going on in the world today that feels sort of like, oh, is this like before, or is this happening? But like, is there a fall? Like, you know what I'm saying? Is there a war coming? Is there a depression coming? Like, everything feels precarious, and there's a lot of opulence in America. And like, there's, you know, I think it's a time that we're really looking. We could probably stand to look back at a little bit now and sort of go like, okay, what can we learn?
Shit was about to hit the fan.
Yeah.
But there was, excitement. Like, I love all the pre-code movies, and I love all the silent movies. Yeah. Okay.
That's it's a magical time. I hate to use the word magical again, but I don't hate to use it because I feel it applies. Okay. Next question, category is going to be three artists. It could be any kind of artist, however you interpret that, that it would be amazing, living or dead, from any era, that it would be amazing to collaborate with. We're going to give you this opportunity to collaborate in your MASH future with someone from the past, painter, singer, writer, anything like that. And it doesn't have to be something you can do now. You know, it's not like, well, I can't sculpt, so I wouldn't want to
collaborate with them.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I told you it was gonna be hard.
Well, I think you can't get away from stuff that you loved when you were little. I mean, you could, you know, the things today that I know, like more literary things,
right,
and more things. So I'm gonna think about the things that, you know, I would, and he's still alive, so it's a possibility.
Okay.
I would collaborate with Paul McCartney.
Great, 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 great. I can see that happening. Great.
I would collaborate with Neil Young. He's alive. You notice I'm doing once in a possibility.
I think it's great.
I would collaborate with... Let me think who I would collaborate with. I'm doing all music ones. Is that wrong?
There's nothing wrong. This is yours. This is great.
I would collaborate. I'm just going to do ones that are living right now with Tom Waits.
Oh, great. Great. My God. I feel like I'm going to see at least one of these actual collaborations happen. Ooh, I accidentally dotted his I twice. So I turned him into somebody with like a umlaut almost. Okay, next category is three places in the world that you would have a vacation home if getting there weren't even a pain. And it can be places you've never even been that you've heard are great.
Oh, fantastic. Well, I would have my ranch in Colorado.
Gotta do a ranch in Colorado. Love it.
And this is vacation or homes? Mm-hmm.
This is second home. So you can spend as much second or as little home. Time there as you
well,
want.
Let's say I'm
that
here
way.
Or there. I would have my my huge apartment in the Dakota.
Great.
In New York.
God, yes.
And I think I would like to have my kind of villa in Umbria.
Great. Okay. Yeah, no kidding. They really figured it out in Italy. Everyone kind of, we all get
Italy.
It.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I would.
Yeah.
We all get it.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Okay. Have you seen...
Did you notice that none of these were really beachy things?
Me neither.
Yeah.
None of mine would be. Have you seen Enchanted April? I'm assuming it holds up. It's not that old of a film. I mean, it was like late 80s, early 90s.
They live in...
Three or four women, I think, in London in the winter, in the wet, dirty winter, rent. They don't really know each other, but they rent a villa together. I guess it's in April.
Did
it's called Enchanted
time?
April. It's wonderful.
Aww.
It's very sweet. By the way, I think it takes place in the 20s because I'm imagining Polly Walker, who's in it, and I'm fairly positive she has her flapper. Aww. Yeah. It does take place in the 20s.
Didn't you want to be a flapper?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I like those drop waist dresses. They're very forgiving. Okay. Mm-hmm. Next category is three. Let's do our romance. Let's do three people. Can be from any time. Could be characters from books or movies or whatever.
Really?
Three people. This is your alternate universe. Sort of. It can be your companion or
okay,
if there's.
Okay, mine are going to be all spies.
Oh, great, great. Let's
okay.
do it.
Emma Peel, Diana Rigg.
Great.
Eli Kuryakin, who was in Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Okay.
Whose son I do know is an amazing guitar player.
I really just phonetically spelled Kuryakin for myself, so I apologize,
and
Eli.
And even though he was a sexist, but young Sean Connery.
Let's get him in there.
Okay.
Let's get him right in there. Okay. Okay, now that reminds me that I want to give you your alternate universe profession.
Okay.
And it could be as outrageous or as grounded as you want.
Okay, well, wait a second.
I'm gonna make you a spy.
I have, okay, yeah.
You know what I mean?
I'm gonna be a spy.
Great.
I'm gonna be a French detective who wears like one of those trench coats, like Jean-Paul Belmondo or, you know, Humphrey Bogart.
Great.
God, I'm a guy on these too.
I approve.
And then the third one, I'm going to be... an ambassador.
Oh, great.
Of and again, it's going to be one of those, maybe I'll be vice president ambassador. So I just get a really great place. I get just a really great place. Like maybe it's, you know, Italy.
Yeah.
But I don't really have many duties.
Yeah. There's not a lot of
parties.
Like,
I get to have parties.
The fun stuff.
An ambassador.
There's not a lot of like,
okay,
ugh,
it's all,
like
you know what? Interesting because my, in college, I was in, it was called International Affairs.
Mm-hmm.
Was my,
you're very worldly.
Yes.
You're very
worldly. From Denver.
Amazing. Okay. Let's do three. Oh God. I feel like I could just do this all day long with you. This is going to be tough to narrow down my final two. Well, okay. I always do this category. This is, but I'm going to expand it. Usually I just do three foods that in this universe have zero ramifications, negative ramifications. I have allergies. So it's like I can fantasize about certain pastas, et cetera. But it can also be just something that's rare. I'm going to open that out to just anything that you would put in your body. So it could be like, hey, listen, if heroin had zero health ramifications, it sounds like it's pretty groovy.
Okay.
Or, you know, booze or whatever.
And maybe it's that 20s thing, but I've always, you know, they don't exist anymore, but I've always wanted to go to an opium den.
I hear you.
And be served, you know, and lay on a pillow.
Yeah.
So opium den's
drifting.
A good one.
Great.
That's a good one.
But I don't want you to feel pressure to do drugs. You can also be like, and then donuts. You know what I mean? Like it can
well,
be
then
whatever.
What I do love is that I'll never forget, and this was in Umbria. This was about 13 years ago. We went... truffle hunting.
Oh, fun.
And
yeah.
The farmer made this dish with this just a Parmesan cheese and truffles over this this kind of
rich,
weird,
wonderful.
Like just teeny, like one noodle.
Uh-huh.
But it was, and so to have that
okay,
again,
yes.
It felt like it was
yes.
the most amazing thing I ever had in my entire life.
Truffle dish in Umbria. Got it. Okay. And then one more.
One more. And this is like a fantasy mm-hmm. or anything. Gosh, I don't know what that would be. I guess I would like to try some wine that was maybe like a Rothschild wine that was, but still was a, but that, you know, when you go see the Christie's auction wine thing, maybe it was something from 1959.
Oh, sure. Sure.
I'm just saying that. But they know it's pretty good.
Yeah. All this hype, and then you open it, it just tastes like garbage. No, we guarantee that it's going to taste good for the Smash game. And then, final one for you. Let's do, I like this one too. Let's do three movies that you can jump into and just live in that world. You're not reliving the plot. It's just like, this is just like a world that's open to you. You're not a character. You just get to go in, but you can hang out with the characters. You can, you know, can be a magical place, can be, you know.
Let me see. How about the Thin Man movies?
Oh,
you
great,
know, because,
great.
You know, where was that? San Francisco, wasn't that?
Yep.
San Francisco and the, you know, everyone was like, drunk and high life and dressed really good.
Great. Thin Man, great.
Okay, and in another movie, I'm just doing the same era. The same actor. What was it? My Man Godfrey?
Okay.
So that's New York.
Great.
In that era.
Great.
And let's see. See, I don't do really old times because they had bad hygiene back then days, you know, like and they didn't live very long. And, you know, it's like, and another one, let's see. Oh, maybe it would be, Hair.
Oh, great. Great.
I don't know why it is.
Great. Awesome. Okay. This is the part where I just do that little squiggle. So within a couple of, you know, seconds, just tell me when to stop because that helps me do my little eeny meeny process. So just tell me when to stop.
I can do it anytime.
Mm-hmm.
Stop.
Okay. I'm going to pause this, do some what I would say are not even as sophisticated as calculating, but I will do the eeny meeny and we'll come back with your 100% guaranteed fictitious MASH future.
Okay.
Okay. All right, here we go.
Oh, boy.
I feel a lot of affection towards all of your choices, and it kind of hurt a little bit to cross anybody off. but I will start by telling you, first I'll start by telling you since I met you, and again, don't expect you to remember, but since I met you first in San Francisco at Sketchfest, you have the ability to jump into the Thin Man movies whenever you want, just as a little like getaway. You know what? I just want to pop in there and just get that world all over me. Yeah. That's so great choices that's kind of your most kind of like imaginary getaway. I don't know how much time you're even going to pop into those movies though, because you have the sort of dream come true ranch in Colorado that you can go whenever you want as well.
It's not far from San Francisco.
It's not far from San Francisco. It's a bit of a hop, skip, and a jump. You can also, when you feel like doing a little time traveling, visit New York of the 1920s.
Oh.
So not bad at all. Now, listen, I don't know if that's where you go to experience your opium highs.
Well, there are there's Chinatown.
I mean,
that's where
and you probably meet a lot of really interesting people. I feel like there are some interesting artists going to opium dens in the 20s.
You remember the movie Alice?
Yeah.
She went to an opium den.
She started by seeing him, and he was a Chinese herbalist, and then and then she ended up going to. I do love that movie. God damn you, Woody. Okay.
I know.
So your ranch in Colorado is very huge because of course MASH stands for mansion, apartment, shack, and house, and you got mansion. So it's a very big, wonderful ranch, whatever that means to you. You, have had a very, fun, fascinating, and, maybe just like the right kind of scary, adventure in your alternate universe job as a French detective.
Oh, that's so exciting.
Probably got a whole closet full of trench coats. and that leaves us with your amazing collaboration that absolutely could come true with Paul McCartney.
Of course.
Listen, you could write a musical together.
I know.
This feels like it's around the corner. I'm very excited. I'm going to call his people.
you have the ability to go back to that magical London trip with your friend. So you guys get to maybe explore some of the feelings that you had. And the rest of these adventures apparently are being shared with Sean Connery.
That's so great.
I was hoping so for Emma Peel, but I'm pleased that you got. Can we have a three-way with
Sean Connery?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Just throw him in the mix. Clearly, he knows what to do. Clearly, he's been in that situation before once or twice. And I think that, yeah, that covers. I think that's an extraordinary MASH future you've got for yourself, Joe. I'm very excited for you. I just
imagine Sean Connery with, you know, two girls from St. Mary's in Denver, Colorado. Like, we're
what do we do? What do we do? He's so hairy. His chest is so hairy. Oh God, I love it. Jill, will you tell people about the collaboration that you did with our mutual friend Richard Farragay and the video and the work that he's done? Because we want people to know
he's
about.
He's so good.
He's really, really talented.
So he's the book, new kids book, illustrated, Sweet Penny.
Sweet Penny.
Which is, I can relate to. She's a, you know, she ends up being a badass girl who does her thing, is not quiet.
Yeah.
She comes out of her shell.
That's right.
And she doesn't have to start a new school like I did. Uh-huh. And they wanted to ask me if I would do a song for it. And not just the theme song, to do the entire book. Of course, it's a kid's book, so
right.
In song.
Great.
So figuring out how to do an entire song. And it's 7.5 minutes. And he did an amazing video for it. And it was just a great experience. And now we're wanting to do an EP and we're getting together. Yesterday I was together with them and we're working on a Little Red Riding Hood song.
Oh, cool.
And one about witches.
Oh,
and
that's
and
great.
There's a song of mine called Underdog Victorious, and we're redoing that, taking great. Out some of maybe the dirtier parts or some of the things that were like, you know, references that I would know.
Right.
So,
well, it really cracked open this kind of new musical adventure. That's great.
Yeah, and I'm excited about that, and it's great working with lately working with from undergrad college kids to now littler kids working in that. Yeah,
I love that.
I get to, in a way, great. It's my MASH. I get to go back.
100%. 100%.
And I relate.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you're good. I do wish that I had more contact with younger kids. I think that's something that I need to, you know, make sure I'm making happen in one way or the other. Because I do. I feel that longing to sort of see the future, visit my past, find out what's changed. Like, you know what I mean? That just whole relatability, yeah. I think, is so key and great.
I do, too. It's great. Like, with undergrads, I think, is it easier now or is it? I think it's
like both. Like it's got to be easier and harder,
and
right? Harder,
yeah. And it's just the same hormonal shit. It's the same.
Yeah.
I'm not sure it gets easier.
Yeah. Or maybe it shouldn't. You know what I mean? Maybe that time is supposed to be just devastating on certain levels and elating and all the feelings. Yeah. Thank you so much for doing the podcast, Jill. This is a dream come true.
You're welcome. This was fun.
I
had a good
so
time.
I'm so glad. And people can find you on social media.
I'm
going to
have a record coming out soon.
You're going to have a record? Or are you just at Jill Sobule? I can't remember.
JillSobule.com.
Great.
Yeah.
Great. Okay. And guys, thanks for listening. And I will talk to you next time on the podcast. As always, the JV Club theme song is Back Before We Were Brittle by the amazing Say Hi.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.